Bina Nissen has a collection of drushes that's available all the bookstores, drushes are on, where he talks about, he gives his drush on Parshas Noach, that is the Parsha of the United Nations. He speaks about the Dor HaFloga. What was so terrible about what the Dor HaFloga did? They just want to get together and make the United Nations. So he says, yes. In the Gemara Sanhedrin, Mishnah Sanhedrin speaks about kinus, that people getting together. So it says that kinus le tzadikim is tov lohem v'tov lo'olam. When the parties get together, when the Aguda and the Mizrahi and the Degel HaTorah and the world, if they would all get together, that would be wonderful. But kinus le rishayim is ra lohem v'ra lo'olam. What can be so terrible? He says, pashut. There was an individual, Avraham Avinu, who was interested in monotheism. And if the United Nations would have succeeded in those days, they would have put him in prison. He wouldn't be able, he had to run away from Nimrod, from the Ur-Kazdim. He ran away to another country. So they let him get away with his mishigas, with his monotheistic shtick over there. But if there would have been the United Nations, they would have prohibited monotheism all over the world. So that's why the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't like Kinus L'Rishoyim. That's the Gemara Sahin. Kinus L'Rishoyim is Ra'al Lohem Ra'al Lohem. Years ago, they used to say that the only good thing the United Nations ever did all the years that it existed was that it recognized Medinas Yisrael. Now the only thing that they're doing is destroying Medinas Yisrael. Everything else in the world, all the wars more or less are being fought out anyway. It's hard to see that they're making any peace anywhere. So the question is whether it's going to have a kiyum. So kinus, le tzadikim or le rishoyim, whatever it is. Rashi has a comment on the opening pasuk in Parshas Noach. Quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, that when you mention the name of a tzadik, you always have to praise him. We have the minig that we only mention Zecher Tzadik Levrocha on people who are nifta, on people who are alive. We don't say zatzal. That's the question: whether everybody had that minig or not. The Chidor claims. The Chidor wrote a book of history that's called Shem HaGdoilim, where he has a list of all of the Rishonim and Acharonim alphabetically arranged, and then he has a list of the Svarim alphabetically arranged. And he has a brief discussion of each one of the Gdoilim in the Svarim. So in his Sefer Shem HaGdoilim, he claims that some of his predecessors who wrote works on history made a mistake. They try to figure out who died when, based on the Rishonim who quote them. So let's say the Rashba quotes the Ramban Zatzal. So obviously he had died already by the time Rashba learned by the Ramban. So obviously the Ramban had passed away by the time the Rashba had written these Chidushim, otherwise he wouldn't write Zatzal. So the Chidor writes that that's not accurate, because by the Sfaradim, at least in the days of the Rishonim, he claims that he used to write Zatzal even on living people. Zecher Tzadik Levrocha. Henoech is alive. He didn't die. At the time that the Torah was written, he had already passed away. But the Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk in Mishle, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha. Whenever you mention the name of a Tzadik, so you should give him a bracha. So you should say on living people also, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha. How come our minig is not so? How come the minig today is that we are, I don't know, maybe by the Spartan it's not so. How come by the minig by the Ashkenazim at least is that you only say Zecher Tzadik Levrocha when a person is not alive? How come, let's say, every time in Tanakh that it mentions a Tzadik's name, so they right away give a bracha? It's not so. Here by Noach, and then Rashi quotes by, or Rashi doesn't quote it, the Medrash points out by Avraham Avinu later. Rashi later, I think in Lech Lecha, points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises Avraham. Avraham Hoyo Yel Goy Godol, and so on. He praises Avraham. There's so many other, Yitzchok and Yankif and Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, there's so many other people mentioned in Tanakh. You don't have them praised all the time. So the Marami Prague has an interesting comment on this in the Gurariye, in his commentary. Gurariye is a chibur on Rashi, Tirush on Rashi Alatari. So he points out that the word Zecher Tzadik Levrocha only applies, it doesn't mean when you mention the name of the Tzadik, Hol v'hizkiro. That's the Pasha Pshat, Hol v'hizkiro. There's no Zecher means when you mention him to see whether he shouldn't be forgotten. Like the Rashi has at the end of the Teichach in Parshas B'chukosai. B'chukosai B'si Yaakov B'apres B'si Yitzchok B'apres B'si Avraham Ezkor V'horet Ezkor. So Rashi quotes from this Sifro. How come it says V'zacharti is B'si Yaakov? The verb Zechir is mentioned in connection with Yaakov. B'apres B'si Yitzchok, it doesn't say Ezkor. It's understood that the verb applies to Yitzchok also. It's B'si Avraham Ezkor V'horet Ezkor. How come it mentions Zechir by Yaakov and by Avraham and not by Yitzchok? So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. that Apishal Yitzchak Sovra Munach Agabi HaMizbeach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need any Zechir. Yitzchak is right there. The Efer from the Akedah, the Eshes from the Akedah are right there, so the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't forget about Yitzchak. But Avram died a long time before. The Teichecha had been recited, the Teichecha there in the Chukosai, and Yankim had passed away a long time before. So on people who are not alive, you have to speak about Zecher, Zikaron, to remember them. But Yitzchak, even though he's talking not alive, but his ashes are there, so then you don't have to speak about Zikaron. So this is what the Maral suggests over here. He says, if a tzaddik is alive, so you don't have to mention Zikaron, Zecher tzaddik livracha, because he's still alive. If he dies, that's a Gzera, Alamei, Sheishtakeach, Achayid Beis Chodesh, we're going to forget about him. So you want to mention the tzaddik, Taka Zecher, to mention Lahaskira, Rashi says. But Lahaskir, that he shouldn't be forgotten. So when you want to mention a tzaddik's name, that he shouldn't be forgotten, haste to say that he's not alive, then Zecher Tzaddik Levrach, he should give a brach. Here Noach is still alive, and later Avram is still alive when the narrative is being related. But still there are Rishoyim in the world. And the Pasuk is speaking of Noach in the context of the Rishoyim. The Pasuk there speaks about Avram in the context of the Rishoyim. So the Marami Prak says, even when the tzaddikim are alive, but when there are Rishoyim around, so the Rishoyim cause a Haron Achbo Elom, and HaKadosh Baruch is going to make a Hest upon him, and he's not going to want to look, so to speak, as if he's not going to be looking at the world. He's not going to be looking at the world. He may forget, just like he's going to ignore everything that's happening, everything that's going on. So he may want to ignore the Tzaddikim also. So that's why the Pasuk mentions the name of the Tzaddik, that he shouldn't be forgotten in the Hest upon him. So whenever you mention the name of a Tzaddik in the context of Rishoyim, that's like mentioning the name of a tzaddik after he died already. That's Zikaron Shavo Yishacheach. So then you say Zecher Tzaddik Levrach. That's our minig. So we only say Zatzal on a person who passed away. Our minig is we only say Shlita on people who are alive also. No, because Zal have a lashon that tzaddikim in misasim kruim chayim. One of the prominent darshanim of Ayeshiva was once speaking about the Chafetz Chaim, that he lived, how long did the Chafetz Chaim live? Till 99 or something. So he said, the Chafetz Chaim lived to the age of 99, I'm never Yesem Shana. Then he realized, what is he talking about? He died already. So he says, Tzadikim Mimisos and Kruim Chaim. It has no shankas. If he's dead, he's dead. It's not going to help. So we don't, our meaning is we don't say Shlita after the person is no longer alive. But Zatzal is the question, why we don't say that. So the Maral Miprah claims that's the reason why. Rashi quotes a machlokes, two opinions in the Gemara. Yesh merab on the pasuk that Noach was a tzaddik b'dayroisov. What's the significance of the word b'dayroisov? Pasuk says he was a tzaddik, so it means he was a tzaddik. But what's the significance of b'dayroisov? So some say, some are of the opinion Yesh merab b'sein adosh motzav l'shvach. If he was a tzaddik in such a difficult time when all the other people were rishoyim, certainly motzav, he would have lived in Berkah. If he lived in Meir Sharm, he would certainly be a bigger tzaddik. And others understand that the mashmoes of the pasuk is Liginai. Kifi deyraisav, he was a tzaddik. If he would have compared to the other people in his generation, he was a tzaddik. But if he would have lived in another generation, he would have not been such a hot shot. So the Mepharshim don't understand. What do you mean? The pasuk comes to knock down Noach. The pasuk comes to say that he wasn't a tzaddik. The pasuk says he was a tzaddik. So what does the Tana say? Yesh ma'abasein adoshim l'gnai. Very strange. The Marami Prag has a comment on this also. He says that in Metzius that both opinions don't disagree as far as the fact. The fact they both agree. In this generation he was an outstanding tzaddik kamim hoyom. He was an outstanding tzaddik kamim in contrast to the other people who lived in the generation. If he would have lived in another generation, let's say in the generation of Avraham Avinu, he would not be so outstanding at all. Avraham Avinu was much greater than Noach. And perhaps all of Avraham's followers would have been much greater than Noach, if Noach wouldn't have been one of the fathers of Avraham. In comparison to other generations, he would not be so great. But if Yitzhak would have lived in another generation where there wasn't so much difficulty in being religious, being a decent person, he himself would have also been a greater tzaddik. So they're both eminent. The both opinions of the Gemara asking to each other on the Metzius, that if he would have lived in a better generation, he would have been a greater tzaddik. And nonetheless, if he would have lived in a generation of Avraham Avinu, he would have not been the outstanding tzaddik of the generation. Avraham Avinu would have been the outstanding tzaddik. But the machlokes in the Gemara is, what is the emphasis of this word, b'dayroisov? What does the pasuk come to imply? So what? And what do you mean the pasuk comes to minimize the tzidkus of Noach? It doesn't make sense. It says he was a tzaddik tamid. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Noach. So he says, Kiyos Charich and tzaddik lefana badar hazeh. He tells him to his face that he's a tzaddik. So the pasuk doesn't mean to knock him down. The pasuk, the machlekes that Rashi quotes is, the Chachamim understood that this word b'dayroisav comes to explain why he deserved the Netzach HaTzolah. So one is of the opinion that Yeshmer Abisena Doshimoto Lashva, he was such a great tzaddik, had such great odds against him, such a door of such Rishoyim, and he was able to be decent and humane and religious and moral and everything. If he would have lived in another generation where there wouldn't be so much antagonism, certainly he would have been greatest attacker. That's why he deserved the Nesah HaTzolah, because he was a wonderful tzaddik. And the others say, no, the pasuk comes to tell us the shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though Noach was only a tzaddik in comparison to his generation, and if he would have lived in another generation, he would not have been so great. Nonetheless, because in contrast to the other people in his generation, he was the tzaddik, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that he deserved the Nesah HaTzolah. So in other words, the pasuk is telling us the shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu marks on a curve. That he doesn't say everyone has to pass the test, that if you get 85 and above, then he's going to save you. Even if you only get 30, but in your generation, 30 is the highest mark, so you deserve it, and that's the HaTzolah. So the pasuk is not coming, the word b'dayroisav, they don't argue about the word tzaddik tamim hoya. That means he was a tzaddik tamim. The machlokes is only on the word b'dayroisav, that's what the Maharal stresses. On the word b'dayroisav, what is it coming to tell me? Is it telling me the shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu marks on the curve, that he gives the Nes HaTzolah to people who perhaps don't deserve it so much, but in contrast to the other people in their generation, they're the greatest tzaddikim? Well, no, the pasuk means that he, Taka, was a very outstanding tzaddik. And the reason why he got the Nes HaTzolah was because he really deserved it in a tremendous way. The pasuk says that the people were all sitting and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to destroy everything. Kate's called Basa Bolafon is going to cause even the animals to die. Well, what are the animals? Madam Chata Behema Mechata? Men sin, the animals didn't sin. That's what the Gemara is in Kashem. Madam Chata Behema Mechata. So Rashi at the end of Parshas Bereishis quotes the two answers from the Gemara on this. The one answer is that the behemoth also chotu. That's what Rashi writes over here. Afila behemoth chai v'yayf niskakim l'shein amina. Rashi on Pasuk Yud Beis writes like that. That's one opinion in Rashi. At the end of Parshas Bereishis also. Afhem hishchis v'zdarkom. And the other pshat that Rashi quotes from the Gemara is, no, that hakol nivra b'shvil ha'odom. The whole world was created for the human beings. And if the Kivan Shehukola, and if God wants to punish man, he wants to wipe out all of mankind, Matzor Abeilu. That's the Medrash that the Mesilas Yesharim quotes from Koheles Rabbah on the Pasuk, Reyes Kol Maisehu Alakim. So the Medrash says, I think Mesilas Yesharim in the Hakdomah quotes that Medrash. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, and he showed him around in Gan Eden all the different trees and all the different things of Teva, and the stars, and the moon, and the skies, and the sun, and everything. So he said, you see a beautiful world. It's all up to you to preserve the world. If you're going to be a tzaddik, if you'll keep the mitzvahs that I give you, he gave him a couple of mitzvahs, so then the whole world will have a tachlis. And if you're going to sin, then the whole tachlis of the world will be wasted, so the whole world will be destroyed. It's not that it's a punishment. God isn't punishing the animals. They don't deserve any punishment if they didn't sin, according to the other opinion. It's not that the behemoth sinned, that they were niskakim l'shein aminim. The animals didn't sin. But even if they were niskakim l'shein aminim, that's not from their mitzvahs. What do you expect the animal to know, that it shouldn't be niskak l'shein amino? But rather, it wasn't really a punishment, but rather that's the result of chet. So let's say a person eats poison by mistake, so he's going to die. Whether he eats it b'shegig or b'mezid, he's going to die. Why does he deserve to be punished? The answer is not a punishment. That's the way the world was created. Someone who takes poison dies. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way, Reyes kol maisu halakim asher asa, that when mankind sins, so the whole world is going to be full of hashchasas, is going to self-destruct. That's why the Chachamim understand that it even a few tzvachim into the Yomek HaMachresha, even a few inches into the ground also were destroyed. that the sin of all the sins of the people affected the whole world, affected the atmosphere, the air till a certain height, and affected the earth to a certain depth. So in a certain sense, it wasn't really a punishment. The people were killed, that was taka punishment. The Gemara talks about the mishpat of the Anshei Dor HaMabul, that it was for a full year. That's the maximum. Mishpat Rishon B'Gehenim, the maximum punishment of Gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. So they had the maximum punishment, a solar year. Not a lunar year, Rashi says, but a solar year. But the fact that the whole atmosphere was poisoned and then the earth was also washed away, that wasn't really a punishment. But the earth sinned, and the air and the atmosphere sinned. It wasn't a punishment. That was just the result of the chet. So that's the other view that Rashi quotes at the end of Parshas Bereishis. That it's not so much that the animals are punished because they were niskak l'shein amina. That opinion is really very difficult. That's from the mitzvahs, that an animal shouldn't be niskak l'shein amina. There is a din. If a human being practices mishka beim, or then v'harakta suisha v'sabeim otarog, you have to kill the animal also. So there the Mishnah in Sanhedrin asks, on daf nun hey, emarim chata beheim emechata, why do you kill the animal? So the Mishnah gives two answers, but neither answer holds that the animal has bchira chavshis not to do this aveira, that the animal has enough seichel not to do the aveira of practicing mishka beim with a human being. To be niskak l'shein amina, that's from the Sheva mitzvahs behemoth. That's from the mitzvahs of behemoth amuzah. Not to be niskak l'shein amina. You don't find like that. But them is the first opinion is very difficult. It's because they were niskak l'shein amina, that's why they deserve to be punished. And yomika machresha, what was over there? The pashtus is like the second. Rashi quotes two opinions. The end of Parshas Bereish. Pashtus is like the second opinion. Dover acher hakol nivra b'shvil ha'odom. And the Kivan who called a Matzor Bela, that it wasn't really a punishment for the rest of the world, it was just the result of Chet.
The earth was just punished in last week's part.
Pardon me?
The ground was punished last week.
Yeah. The ground was punished because the Taka sinned. We don't understand what that means, but Rashi quotes in the Medrash that the ground sinned. It didn't follow the instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But over here, you don't have recorded any sin that the earth did on this occasion. By the marble. Here the pasuk says they had four married people. Noach and his three sons, they were all married, and they were in the table with their wives. And Rashi quotes from the Medrash that they were forbidden to have marital relations with their wives for a whole year. It's not easy. The Medrash speaks about the Nisayon that Noach had. What exactly was the Nisayon? That was the Nisayon. The Medrash talks about how Kadosh Baruch Hu giving the Siyonis to people. Kadosh Baruch Hu only gave an Nisayon to Noach and to Tzadikim throughout all the generations because he knew in advance that they could take it. He doesn't give an Nisayon to a person that's too difficult for him to live through. Some people feel that the temptation is just so great for them to do certain averes, they just can't control themselves. Yeah, there are people like that. That's called Shaita. A person does not have Bchira Chavshis, he can't control himself. But a normal person can control himself. People who went through the war, through the Nazis, and they had no food to eat. So whenever they see food, 50 years later, so they start panting. Whenever they see water, they start panting. Fuck, I have no control. The whole system was so shaken up by the suffering that they had under the Nazis. But that's a normal people. A person who looks normal, who didn't go through anything like that. A person who says like that, that just can't control himself. But that's called the Shaita. A person does not have Bchira Chavshis. So the Medrash stresses that. Medrash on Parshas Noach says HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives Nisyanis to the Tzadikim. He was a Sfardish Tzadik in Eretz Yisrael. He was known as the Sova Kadisha. He was very old. Alafendri, I think his name is Alafendri. He died, I think, after the age of 100. So he's very old. So he once made such a comment on the Pasuk, HaNoisim Shelei Katzomer. So the pasuk pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes it to snow, so the snow falls down, it looks like wool that's falling down from the heaven. The white snow looks like wool. he suggested an interpretation. Maybe it's based on a medrash somewhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives so much snow in accordance with how many woolen sweaters you have. If you have enough woolen clothing to warm yourself up, then he'll bring more snow. If you don't have enough wool, so he's not going to give you that much snow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives nisayonis to tzaddikim whom he knows can take the nisayon. He doesn't put people in a situation that's impossible for them. Some people he does. That's called the shaitan. Hashem creates people who don't have chiruch habshes, who just can't control themselves. But the normal people that we associate with, those who are not institutionalized in insane asylums, the normal people that we deal with, we assume that that they have chiruch habshes, that they have the ability to withstand the temptation and to live through any sign. Pasuk says that when the Rabbanu Shalom decided to destroy his world, so he told Noach he should make a teva and son. Then he waited 7 days and he destroyed the world. So the Gemara and the Midrashim discuss what is the significance of waiting these 7 days. What happened in the 7 days? So the Torah Tmimah quotes four different opinions from Gemara. So one opinion is Mikan Lavelu Shivas Yamin, that the Rabbanu Shalom was sitting shiva on the world. So the Achrayim ask, "What do you mean he was sitting shiva? The people didn't die yet. You observe avelas after the person died." The Gemara has a story in the end of Nedarim that someone sees a relative faint and he thinks that the relative died and he rips kriya, and then the relative turns over and then he dies 2 minutes later. So the Gemara says he's not yet the kriya. If he rips kriya while the person was a geisus, he didn't wait till after he actually died. You're not yet. Gemara has a chiddush there that if the person, the relative, the surviving relative, ripped kriya before the chayla died, and then the chayla dies terkedei dibur, so then the Gemara says that you get, that's a big chiddush. Terkedei dibur kidivit, no one's talking over there. Terkedei dibur, usually we're used to thinking someone is talking about something. He says a neder, he says a shvua, he says mashiv alach, whatever. He said ma'amelach ha-kadosh, ha-kel ha-kadosh. He said something, so you can correct his statement, or you can change your statement, terkedei dibur kidibur domik. Here, first of all, no one is talking. Secondly, he ripped kriya while the person was still alive. The chiddush that I said, that's what Rabbi Shimshka points out in the Sefer, in the Shari Yosha. You see from that Gemara, that terke deidiba kidiba dami means that that's considered basachas. What unit of time is considered basachas? Let's say if one would rip kriya simultaneously with the death of the relative. So the Gemara's mechadish that would be good. So what's called simultaneously? The same second, or the same half a second, or the same 50th of a second, or the same 150th of a second. How much? So that's what the Gemara says. That terke deidiba kidiba dami is considered bevasachas. That's considered simultaneously al pi halacha. You don't have to work with seconds and 2 seconds and a half a second, split seconds and so on. Terke deidiba is the shear that we work with. I call part of the din is that if you rip kriya while a person is still alive, it's no good. If you observe avelu shiva while a person is still alive, it's no good. So what does it mean over here? Mativim shal shiva seyamim, sheshama kodesh baruch hu alaylam shiva seyamim. He observed avelu shiva, mikam avelu shiva seyamim. The Yerushalmi in the third parak in Moed Katan, where the Mishnayis have all the dinim of avelus, Yerushalmi says this is the mocha. What kind of a mocha for avelus? So the Achrayim say that there is a din in Masechah Sanhedrin when a bez makes a gmar din lamiso, then the nidon is considered a gavrak tilo. Ramaynach kemina, hahorgo eina neragolot. If I kill somebody, tam chayv misa, lo yisir tzav. What if I kill a person who is a gavrik tila? He's already dead, then I'm not chayv misa. So what say he's already dead? So one case, a man is dead. I shoot a man who's dead. So if he's dead, he's dead. I'm not chayv misa. But then the Gemara has two trick cases. The man is alive, but al pidin, we declare him as a gavrik tila. He has the status as if he were dead. So one is one who is a treifa. Nodim treifa, the Gemara has in Sanhedrin daf ein ches, is considered a gavrik tila. And the second case is misha nigma din la misa. If somebody is nigman din l'misa, and I go and I kill him, not because I want to do the shame mitzvah, I want to chapois, I want to fulfill the mitzvah, really is yad ve'edim tiyah bab rishana, the edim should kill him first, yad kolam achreina. But that, like there's a din that misha shachat hu yichasa, the one who shechta chai v'yayif, has the right to do the kisei adam. So the Gemara says in Perek kisei adam, what if I run and I chapois and I do the mitzvah, I rush in and I do the kisei adam, so I fulfill the mitzvah, and there's nothing left for the sheikhah to do. But since I stole a mitzvah from him, so I have to pay him asar zahut. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Gamliel made a penalty. If you steal a mitzvah from somebody, you got to pay $10 asar zahut. So what's over here the din? If someone is nigman din lemisa, so the mitzvah is If I rush and I kill him to fulfill a mitzvah, so I got the mitzvah, so I have to pay them the asorism. That's what it means. No, I didn't kill him the shame mitzvah. I killed him, I hate him. I've been trying to kill him for years. Now finally I had the opportunity and I killed him. Not the shame mitzvah, I had kavanah shalala, I had in mind not to be yaitzeh the mitzvah. And still I'm not naragolim. So taka, why not? I didn't kill him the shame mitzvah. So what's the hetzer to kill? The answer is taka, there's no hetzer. But I killed a man who is considered a gavrak tila. That's halacha. One who is nigma din lemis is considered a gavrak tila. So that's what some suggest over here in connection with this interpretation that Yerushalmi gives on the pasuk. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait another 7 days? Vahidu shivas hayamin. So the Gemara has different suggestions, and Yerushalmi suggests this pshat, that the Rebbeinu Shlom waited 7 days. The Rebbeinu Shlom already made up his mind that he's going to wipe out the whole world. Everybody had, all the human beings had the status of a gavrak tila. So then, after they have the status of a gavrak tila, so then Shai have to observe Avelus. A normal person who's from the Haruge Bezin, so the Mishnah says, Bavod Rishoyim Rina, the Pasuk. So you don't, the Kroivim do not observe Avelus. Emisabna. They don't observe Avelus even after they die, so let alone after the Nigma Dina Lamisa. They don't observe Avelus. Here, the Rabban Shalom felt bad. He was crying. So the Rabban Shalom observed Avelus for them after the Nigma Dina. We have another din like that. We have Halacha Lamaisa din like that. One who is in Cherem has to observe, he has to observe certain aspects of Avelus. And what is that all about? So the Netziv in his Biur on the Shilta suggests that that's what it means. When Bezin declares a Cherem on somebody, so the Gemara understands that that's a curse, that the person should drop dead. And when the person ultimately dies, even if it takes him 60 years till he dies at a ripe old age of 98, whatever, we attribute his death, even though it's very strange, we attribute his death to the fact that the Bezin cursed him, that he should die. And therefore the din is that the Kraven do not observe any Avelus. That's the din in Yerideya. Misha meis b'niduyo. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. That's what the Mordechai quotes from the Rishonim based on the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Misha meis b'niduyo, bezen soklem es harono. What does it mean, bezen soklem es harono? They throw stones on soklem. So it says, no, they put on a big, it says they don't put on a big pile of rocks, gegala shalochon, like by Ochon they had a big pile of rocks that went up. No, it says he put a slab of stone on top of his coffin, the hodiya, to demonstrate that he really deserved an einish skilo. And we, nishameiz b'niduyo, we consider it as if he had died because of Mrs. Bezin, and skilo is the worst form of Mrs. Bezin, skilo sreif erek v'chenik. So we consider niduy acherim, when a person dies in niduy acherim, we attribute his death to the curse of the Bezin. We consider it as if Bezin made a gmar din lenisa, and he's a gavrik tila, and his death was a fulfillment of the Mises Bezin. So the Mordechai says, based on that Gemara, and that's quoted in Yerideya, that therefore, Bavod Rishoyim Rino, just like Haruge Bezin, the Kroiv Manat Mesablin, so the same thing, Ishameiz B'nidu, the Kroiv Manat Mesablin. But the Menudah himself, or the Mukhrim himself, while he's still alive, has to observe Avelus on himself. And I thought, has to observe Avelus on himself. And the Gemara has a whole discussion in the third parak of Maikotin, which aspects of Avelus does he observe and which not. He has mixed Bini Avelus. Who is he observing Avelus on? On himself. On himself. Because once the Bezin put him in Nidui, that's considered as if he were a Gavrik Tila. But that's like a mace, like the Yerushalmi says over here, after the Gemara Din, the person is a Gavrik Tila, so Shaykh to observe Avelus. Yeah.
Why does Hashem then start
blowing
light rain and then heavy rain?
How can
there be tshuva as far as we're concerned,
or we can? Same thing, let's say, by cherem on nidui. You put a person in cherem, so we treat it as a gmar din lamisa, but the bezin can reverse the nidui. There can be mater a cherem. That's like a tchias ames. There is such a concept. The Rebbeinu Shlom is hoping, maybe they'll do tshuva, he'll reverse his gmar din.
If somebody kills Gavrak Tila, Hashem mitzvah, then he
probably pays. Probably does. Yeah, the Gemara says that. Gemara doesn't say it by this. It's a similar case. Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Tzadik Amud Bey says that if you have a shor shaharges ha'adam, so there's a din of that the shor is chayv nisam. Sokol yisokol ha'shor. So who has the mitzvah to kill a shor? So there is no din of yadu eidim ti bav rishon. That din only applies when it's a human being who's chayv mitzvah bezin. But when it's a shor, so Rashi writes in Bava Kama, the bala shor has the mitzvah. Mitzvah metelus al bala shor, he should kill the shor. So the Rashi interprets the Gemara there. So Gemara in Bava Kama, if someone else goes and he kills my shor, techapois the mitzvah from me, They have to pay me the Asara Zehuvin. So the Stama the same if someone killed a Gavrik Tila instead of letting the Aiden kill from the Stama, he pays them the Asara Zehuvin.
Pays Aiden?
Stama, 5 and 5.
And when we say
imagine.
When you say Aiden,
I don't think he pays 10 and 10. Stama will pay 5 and 5.
And when you say Aiden, I had a loss, I mean, the victim is not going to kill him, but he's going to get his own punishment from the Shaman.
Yeah. Stama, there certainly is an Avera. Yeah, the Pashtus is there certainly is an Avera. But there's no Einish in the Bez Neshama. Yeah.
This idea that Hashem can trap his sin, then why didn't he sit
Shiva?
Why?
But he wastes his time to sit Shiva, may turn out that he'll do Shiva. Okay, that's Kash.
The same, I read in the Sikh book, has an essay in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, talking about the concept of Benonim, Kulim, Ba'omdim. One of the shitos that he entertains is that when Rosh Hashanah ends, he's already Nigmar Din, the Benonim, that they already should be Nitzamu Misa. But if you wait until Yom Kippur, he has Kulim, Ba'omdim, and you wait until Yom Kippur to see if they'll do Tshuva. If they'll do Tshuva Yom Kippur, then he'll reverse the Din, Hashem will reverse the Din, and if not, then there'll be Nitzamu Misa. This is the same idea of the waiting period. You know, to do Misa here, it seems that there was no waiting period. We needed to eat that Shiva.
Don't know.
And we should back up those discussion kills for the instead of the agent. Why we care about Sarah? Why didn't we get a Yad Kalam background? If the Aiden missed, then this needs to be together. You know, so why should we pay the Aiden?
Maybe, I don't know. It doesn't say any more. That's just my imagination. Maybe you're right. Maybe he's also included in the mitzvah. Maybe not. Igmar just says, if I kill the Shara and Nisko instead of letting the Baal Shara kill, then Igmar says, I pay Asar. Maybe you're right. In this case, he doesn't. I don't know. Rashi comments on the closing pasuk in Parshas Noach that it has a Nun Hapucha. Most of the Sifrei Torah don't have the Vayomas Terach Bicharon. So the last Rashi on the Parsha writes, Nun Hapucha. It's a backwards nun. It doesn't mean an upside down nun. It means a backwards nun. To indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in a state of Charonah over his whole world. That there were 10 doiras from Noach to Avram, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry. And Shabu Avram Avinu. So the Rebbeinu Shalom calmed down, so to speak. The Shaila about all of these Masoiris that Rashi writes. If we don't have them, Sar Sifrei Torah are not possible. So all of these fancy things, they don't possible with Sifrei Torah. If you have a Kri Niksiv and you wrote it according to the Kri and not according to the Ksiv, that would pass on the Sefer Torah. That's the Halacha Moshe Messina, not the Kri Ksiv. But all of these additional Masoiris do not pass on the Pantel, because our Sefer Torah don't have them.
What's the plan for the Pantel?
Chavir not. How can it pass on if Rashi has the tradition that that's what it's supposed to be? We speak all the time about the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. The mitzvahs were really given to Adam Arishan and Bereshis by Tzav Hashem Elokim al Ha'adam Leimam and Kolei Tzagan Ocha Fechal. So the Gemara understands from those two psukim, all of the mitzvahs. So why do we speak of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? So the Rambam quotes from the Gemara. The Rambam in Hilchus Malachim explains. Originally, HaKadosh Baruch only gave 6 mitzvahs to Adam Arishan. He didn't give him Avim and Achai because he wasn't permitted to eat meat Bechlal. Adam Arishan had to be a vegetarian. After the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave permission to Noach and to his descendants to eat meat. Kiera Kesem Nesate Lechem is called. Gives him permission to eat meat just like he had given permission to Adam Arishan to eat all of the fruits and the vegetables. At that time that he gave him permission to eat meat, so he gave him the din of Avim and Achai. So that's why we usually refer to it as the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, because until the days of Noach there were only 6. But there were mitzvahs some before. So the pasuk repeats some of the in conjunction with Avim and Achai. So the pasuk repeats also Ritzicha, even though Ritzicha was already given before the days of Noach. Ritzicha was given to Adam Arishan, the mitzvah of Ritzicha. But nonetheless, it's repeated now as well. And also the din shefech dam ha'adam ba'adam dam yishafech kibbutz elam elkim asa sa'adam pru revu is repeated now. And Achaz Zimchel and Asher Sech Medrash, that did not appear before. One is not permitted to commit suicide. The Gemara Sanhedrin points out on the pasuk Shafech Dam HaAdam BaAdam, even an Adam BaAdam, even a fetus, an uber that's inside the body of the mother, Ben Noach Neragolav, if an Achri kills an uber, the Chayiv Misa for abortion. So how come the Mishnah says in Nida that a Jew who kills an uber is not Chayiv Misa? Maybe the pasuk refers to Jews and non-Jews. What, this is only going on going? So I didn't know Jews are forbidden to commit suicide. It's based on this pasuk. Achaz Zimchel Nashes Sech Medrash, pasuk A. So why should I say the pasuk vav does not refer to Yisrael? Shafech tam ha'adam ba'adam dam yishafech. It's the kasha that the Achreinim ask. The Stechemet quotes, the Stechemet is an encyclopedia on halacha. He quotes a letter from Rabbi Shlomo Levilna, who said it's a beferish a pasuk in Mishpatim, that if a Jew kills an uber, he's not chay misa. The Torah speaks about the mevil others. So the Torah says, so then you have to pay the mevil adas. But that's only nefesh. If he killed a woman, if he killed the isha muberes, then the chumash says come labor the rab minay, that you don't pay the mevil adas. Then you do pay the mevil adas. So Rav Shlomo Levilna said, what do you mean? If he killed the uber, so if you kill an uber, you chayv misa. So there's always come labor the rab minay. So it's built in that there's always going to be a come labor the rab minay. So how do you ever have the whole institution of Mei Blodis? So the Pashtus is, the whole Pasha of Mei Blodis, that it distinguishes, if he killed the mother, then Minasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, then maybe there's an Einish Misa, or at least there's Kam Levi the Rabbinate. If he didn't kill the mother, you only killed an Uber, then you do pay, then the one who killed her, the Uber, is not Chai Misa, and he pays. So you see from that Pasha, that the Yisrael, one who kills an Uber is not Chai Misa. But by Bnei Noach, that's the Pasuk. Even a Ben Noach who kills an Uber is also Chayiv Misa. The question is, what is the nature of the prohibition of killing an Uber? Ben Noach is Chayiv Misa ala Gezel. The Gemara says, Ben Noach is Chayiv Misa on all the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach. As a Rasen Zui Misosim, the Gemara says, if Ben Noach violates any one of the Sheva Mitzvahs, is Chayiv Misa. Ben Noach is Nerag al Pachas from Sheva Pruta. He's still less than the Sheva Pruta, he's Chayiv Misa. So maybe a Ben Noach is Nerag an Chayvul B'Chaver also, if he injures somebody. So maybe that's why the Ben Noach is Neragala Ubrin. Is it the Torah's Ritzicha? Or is it the Torah's Chayva Bachaveiro? Which is Loigora from Mazik. Let's say by Yisrael. By Noach. Ben Noach, I don't know what the difference is. The Chayva is like a Gezel. It's the worse than Gezel. Included in Gezel. If I steal a Pachas Mishav Pruta from another, if the Nochri steals a Pachas Pruta, it's Chayv Nisa. Means that he causes any damage, any injury to the other one. Mazik, Chayvon, is also Chayv Misa. So by Ben Noach it doesn't really make too much of a difference. Shad is by Yisrael, let's say. If you kill an Uber, what's the Yisr? There certainly is an Yisr, but there's no Chayv Misa. That's a big machlekes achreinim. What is there an Yisr by abortion by Yisrael? So some achreinim write the Hetagoma. Yistechemi quote all the Kvishita. Some say Hetagoma, some say it's an Yisr derabanan, and some say it's an Yisr derais. The Pashtus is certainly that it's an Issa Deraisa, the Gemara. The Gemara Sanhedrin, the Pashtus certainly is that it's an Issa Deraisa. Because the Gemara Sanhedrin, on Daf Nun Ches, in the middle of the Sugya Bnei Noach, on Daf Nun Ches, goes around three blocks. So the Gemara has a klal, Nika Midi, the Yisrael Shari, the Bnei Noach Oser. There is no such thing as a situation that a Bnei Noach is forbidden to do something, the Yisrael is allowed to. So over here, Bnei Noach is clearly forbidden to kill an Uber. So we're going to say that Yisrael is permitted to practice abortion. So you have the Taina Miyukam Midi. So Taisus points that out. And not Gemara. Taisus says, you see from the Gemara that abortions constitute an Issa Deraisa by Yisrael. By Ben Noach, it's certainly an Issa Deraisa, the Chayiv Misa. But by Yisrael, even though there's no Chayiv Misa, there's certainly an Issa Deraisa. So that's how 98% of the Poskim hold. The two Shitas that I mentioned, they're really obscure Shitas. The Stechem, of course, those are hold Hetagom, and those are hold that it's only an Issa Derabana. The Pashtus is that it's not right. I think Rabbi Yankiv Emden says that there's no Issa. And one of the other Achaim says that it's only the Rabbana. The Stechem said it's against Taisus. Taisus shows from the Gemara that it's certainly an Issa Deraisa. But the only shaila is what's the nature of the Issa Deraisa? Is it b'toras v'tzicha or is it b'toras chayvo b'chavera? The difference would be when would an abortion be permitted? The Mishnah in Aholos, the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes the Mishnah in Aholos that if you have a woman, I'm uberes, I'm a kashalele. Let's say a woman is pregnant. and her life is in danger, and she has to have some medical treatment. Let's say she needs chemotherapy. She has cancer, and the chemotherapy is going to kill the uber. Are you allowed to treat the mother to save her life if you know in advance that you're going to kill the uber? If you think the uber is going to die anyway, you think they're both going to die. So then for sure it's mutter. What's the shot? But let's say you think if you won't treat the mother, if you won't do anything to save the mother, the uber will survive and the mother will die. What's the din? So the Mishnah says that you kill the uber. You treat the mother, you do whatever is necessary to save the mother's life, even at the expense of losing the uber. So that's the question, when do you have that heter that you're allowed to kill the uber only to save the mother's life, only be makom pikuach nefesh? Only be makom pikuach nefesh, but anything less than that, not. Or perhaps one should say no. Let's say the mother will become very sick and very weak if she'll go through with the pregnancy, but she's not going to die. She's not going to lose her mind. She won't have a nervous breakdown or anything. She'll just become very weakened. So let's say if a person has some kind of a condition, so he's certainly permitted to do surgery in order to help the person. That's on the sechayv b'chaveiro. Let's say a person has 6 fingers on his right hand. So you like to cut it off. A person has 3 ears. You like to cut off the extra ear. So if a woman is pregnant, she has an uber, and the uber is causing her physical pain. The uber is causing a physical pain. If the woman feels bad that she lost her figure, if a person has 6 fingers, you like to cut off the finger. Why? Because it doesn't look good. So the woman wants to look like a model. She wants to look like a movie star. So she doesn't. She wants to get rid of this uber. She lost her figure. So that's not a taina. That's not normal. The Rebbeinu Shlomo doesn't say you have a right to look like a movie star. You have to lead a normal life and have a baby. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's say the woman is going to have a baby. She's going to become sick. She's not going to have a nervous breakdown. It's not going to be a sofek sakana. But she's clearly going to be sick. So to be sick, if you hold that abortion is only an iser of chayva b'chaveiro, so then if chayva b'chaveiro is mutter, if chavol is mutter to cut off a finger just for aesthetic purposes, that the person should look normal, so it would certainly be mutter, let's say, for health purposes. So that's the big machlokes in the poskim. When would we allow an abortion? We assume that abortions constitute an iser deraisa b'Yisrael also. So the shaila is how much they need to be mad to the abortion. The Mishnah holds us only gives a case where the mother's life is the sakana. And the Rambam writes like that. The Rambam writes, the reason why you're allowed to kill the uber is because the uber is a roidif to the mother. So from the Rambam is mashma beferish, whenever the mother's life is not the sakana, and the uber is not a roidif, then you're not allowed to kill the mother. Even not allowed to kill the uber, even to spare the mother from sickness. And others point out that the Rambam, the Achrayim point out, the Rambam al pi pashtus ashver, Rambam, the Poshup Shat in Gemara Sanhedrin is against the Rambam. So Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva, he quotes from the early Achrayim, from the tshuva's Goinim Kadmoi, that they say, Mekenesh Avek Machan HaRambam, just because you have a difficult Rambam, you don't just say the Rambam Mishver, we're not going to pass like the Rambam. So they may Yashiv the Rambam. Rav Chaim has on the Rambam. Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes in his sefer, Rav Chaim has in his sefer on the Rambam, and he explains the Rambam. Shita, fine. But still you have the other Rishonim, don't learn like the Rambam. So that's a serious question, Allah Alamai said. Would you only allow an abortion when the woman's life is the sakana? Or what if it's less than that? Not some, she doesn't want to lose her figure. That's not a valid reason. But what if this taka a serious problem, a health problem? Would you allow an abortion on the assumption that abortion is only in Isra Chagal B'Haver? The Rambam is pretty clear. The Rambam is clear in two places. When the Rambam talks about killing an uber, is mashma that yichai misa b'dei shamayim if you kill an uber? So the Pashtus is that it's Ritzicha, it's a form of Ritzicha, and that's why the Rambam writes that the only time it would be Muta would be when the Uber is erided. But the question is, Rashi doesn't seem to learn the Gemara like the Rambam, and Daf Ayin Ches and Sanhedrin. And then the question is, do you paskin like Rashi, or do you have to be Choshish for the Rambam sheet? That's the big question, yeah?
It's Ritzicha, is there any difference at all? What stage of
pregnancy would it? That's also a question. Rav Moshe in his sefer claims even before 40 days. The Gemara says that an uber before 40 days is considered Maya B'Alma, and after 40 days then it begins to be considered an uber. So some argue the point and say before 40 days is Zichano Isa Ritzicha. That's for sure only in Isa Chavol B'Haver, only Chavola. Rav Moshe holds not so. Rav Moshe in his sefer quotes the Chavis Yoyer, who has a whole argument, and he says even before 40 days it would be an Isa Ritzicha, and he wouldn't be allowed to do it unless the mother's life will be the Sakana. Rav Moshe even goes further. He says a Suffolk Sakana wouldn't be enough if the mother's the Suffolk Sakana. Let's say sometimes a woman is pregnant And the doctors say that there's a suffix sakana. If they'll leave her with the pregnancy, she may die. If they'll abort the baby and they'll treat the mother, they think that they'll save her life. If they don't abort the baby, it may or may not cause her to die. They're not sure. So is that enough to be matir abortion? So Moshe is so machmir, he says no. But the Rambam says only right if, only if it's a vadai right if, a korav levadai right if. A raiv, in other words, a raiv. That if you let the baby continue to develop, the mother's life, the mother will lose her life. And others disagree. The Pharisees saw La Mishnah disagrees. He says the suffix sakana is also sufficient to be matir. Right, the baby would not be a right of right. The way Rab Chaim explains the Rambam, Rabbi Zalman quotes Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim in the Sefer doesn't have the whole beer. Rabbi Zalman and the Eben also quotes the whole Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim explains it, in this case it would be a raitiv, yeah. Under normal circumstances, not a raitiv. The baby's a passive raitiv. The baby's not doing anything over there. But the way Rab Chaim explains it, that would also be called a raitiv. The Rambam got it from a Gemara. The Rambam puts it together with a Gemara. The Gemara has the case in the end of Bava Kamma. There's a boat or a ferry that's taking passengers on the lake, whatever, and they have so much, so many passengers, and so much luggage that it's going to sink. So everyone's life is b'sakana. They're all going to drown to death. So the Gemara says you throw up some of the luggage into the river, so the boat will be lighter, so everybody's life will be saved. So Mashteitzach, you don't have to, it's self-understood that you don't have to pay if you threw up someone else's luggage, you don't have to pay the Teres Adam HaMazik because you were allowed to throw it off. So why is that self-understood? Why is that so pashut that you putter from paying for the luggage that you threw overboard in order to save everybody's life? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chayav HaMazik, the very end of Hilchos Chayav HaMazik, that the luggage has a din of a raitiv. The Ravid writes, what? Ein kan lo melach v'lo tavla. What are you talking about? The luggage is a raitiv. They loaded up the boat, and then the boat started to go, and then they realized it's too heavy. So why is the luggage? What, the luggage is the last thing put on? Trying to kill the mother. The Uber is not consciously trying to kill the mother, so that wouldn't be a right. But Kodim Shotzi Rosha, before the Uber is born, so we treat the Uber with the rules and regulations of Roidev of inanimate objects. Unfortunately, these shilas come up. The Medrash has a comment on the Ach. The Gemara says, "Ach v'rakin al miyutim heim. Ach is dimchal nashesech medrash." The Torah says you're not permitted to practice suicide. The Torah says, "Ach, sometimes you are allowed to. When are you allowed to practice suicide?" See, here there's a famous Dazu Kain Bali Ateis, and he writes that their practice was that their practice. When the Crusaders were traveling through Europe and they would baptize all the Jews on their way in order to bring Messiah. So the parents didn't want to. The parents gave up their lives al Kiddush Hashem. So they would sometimes they would kill themselves. Sometimes they would kill their children. So he quotes that they would sometimes they would kill it, slaughter their children, and they would recite the bracha before killing their children. Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvah tzivanu al hashchita. It's very questionable. Where do you see that you have a right to kill someone else? Where do you see you have a right to kill yourself? That's to kill yourself is a little bit achas dimchon nashesech medrash achas a miyut. Sometimes you're allowed to. So the medrash says, when are you allowed to? Yochel kishol, maybe you're not even allowed to commit suicide, like in the instance of Shaul HaMelech. He was afraid that if the plishtim would capture him alive, they would torture him to death and he would suffer terribly. So he decided he'd rather commit suicide than to be tortured by the enemy. So the Medrash says that that's permissible. Ach says that it's permissible. So let that person is dying from a terrible disease and he's suffering, and he wants to commit suicide in order not to suffer. So based on that Medrash, it should be mutter. So the Beis Yosef is not sure whether we should pass him like that Medrash or not. That's the question, whether he pass him like that. Or let's say during the Second World War, people were afraid they would be tortured by the Nazis. So many Jews committed suicide. So the question is it permissible or not? So that's the Shaila in the Beis Yosef. Whether we pass on like this Medrash or not. The Beis Yosef wrote Hoisophus, that is Chibur on the tour, that's called Berek HaBayis. He touched up his bayis, the Beis Yosef. There were cracks in the house, so he Berek HaBayis, he fixed it up. That's in the bold print. The Beis Yosef is always in Rashi script and the standard editions. In the Berek HaBayis in bold print. So in Yeridei, Simen Kufn and Zion, the Simen about Yehorek Val Yavar, so the Beis Yosef has there this Berek HaBayis. He's not sure if we pass on, he's the one who throws in the monkey wrench. He's not sure if we should pass on like this Medrash, because the Gemara doesn't have it, and the Mishnayos doesn't have it. It doesn't appear anywhere else, and the Poskim don't bring it. That's a serious shaila, halacha lemaisa. But in the days of the Rishonim, they did. In the days of the Rishonim, they assumed, based on the Medrash, that if you know they're going to torture you, they're going to cause you more pain by staying alive, then you're permitted to commit suicide, and they didn't want to be baptized. So they committed suicide. They committed suicide rather than be, and they killed their children also. That's a bigger chiddush. Kill your children as Ritzicha, that's not suicide, that's Mochama. That's a big question. Why should it be Mutter? What kind of a heter is that? Ah, that you have a heter.
Is, let's say you have cancer and giving chemotherapy to save you, is not doing something shady off and not giving chemotherapy
considered suicide? Yeah, the Mogen Avraham quotes at Shuvah Saravat and Hilchah Shabbos, he quotes. Shin Lamed Ches or something like that. He quotes Tshuvas HaRadvaz that if there's a medical treatment to a condition that a person has, and he refuses to take that treatment, so he's in violation not of this, he's in violation of V'nishmarta miyod l'nav shesech. That's what he quotes. V'nishmarta miyod l'nav shesech. Even if it's Shabbos, and he doesn't want to be mechal Shabbos. He doesn't want to take the treatment because it involves the Rosh Shabbos. So he says also that Chassidus Shal Shtus. Koshken, if it's the Prima Gordon says on that Radvaz, Koshken, if it's Bimosacho. So Stami doesn't want to take the treatment. That you're not allowed to. Unless, Rabbi Yankee Femdin comments on that Magen Avraham, Mishem Radvaz, unless it's a difficult treatment, let's say if there's a standard procedure. A person has a limb that's gangrenous and they want to cut it off, and I'll put him on a plastic leg and sure, he'll live for another 80 years and he'll lead a life like everybody. It'll be a little uncomfortable, but this is a standard procedure. So then the Magen Avraham quotes from the Radvaz, Yimuchiv too. But Rabbi Yankee Femdin writes in his Sefer there, in the Morak Tzio, Chibar on Arachayim, what happens if it's not such a refuah that's Baruch Menusa? It's very iffy and it has side effects, negative effects, and he doesn't know exactly if it's going to be good for the Jews, bad for the Jews. There's a chance he has. Everything is up in the air. So then he says if the guy doesn't want, you can't force him. Then it's up to the cholah to decide whether he wants the treatment or not.
Someone suffering.
Chemotherapy is not so bodega manusa. A lot of people die earlier because of chemotherapy. And a lot of people it doesn't really help. They just suffer, and it's painful and annoying and a nuisance, and they don't really get any better. A lot of people, they're blessed, and it does work, and it extends their life significantly. So it's hard to say that if a person turns down and refuses to have chemotherapy, it's hard to say that that's an issue, and it's not the other nashasich. Some it wouldn't be. If the day will come that chemotherapy will be so baruch and menusa, it will be a standard procedure, and everybody knows that the result will be that it will extend your life, and everybody will know that that's worth it, and then when that time will come, so... But then you'll have a son. The Gemara in the end of Ksuvah says that when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi died, the funeral was on Shabbos, and some of the people, and it was very cloudy, and some of the people thought that they were Mechal Shabbos, and the people were Mechal Shabbos late Friday afternoon, so the people were Mechal Shabbos. But the Gemara says there was one man who went to commit suicide because of the fact that Gemara has in Bob Metzi also like that. A person thought that he violated an Avera, Boal Eishetish, turned out he really didn't, but he thought he violated an Avera, so he went and he committed suicide. So the Sheet Mekubeta says on that Gemara that he didn't do an Avera because since he wanted to do it, L'shem Kapara, that's Mutar. Yeah, that's the question, whether you hold from this Ach, do you hold from the Miut or not? Do you hold from this Miut or not? Are there any instances where we allow suicide? Here in Broyers, in the community, they have a minig that whenever there's a levaya on Friday, there's always a funeral on Friday, but not in their kehillah. So whenever their kehillah has a funeral on Friday, so they daven mincha 5 minutes later than normally. Whatever this man is that they have a mincha printed on their chart, so whenever there's a levaya that they announce in their shul, they'll daven mincha 5 minutes later, based on that gemara, that no one should think that they're on the chal shab, but no one should commit suicide. I think it worked. No one ever committed suicide because there was a funeral on a Friday afternoon. So their trick works. The Sefer Ksava Kabbalah, he has a comment on this pasuk. Miyad ish ochi that rosh is nefesh ha'odom, that he's not allowed to kill someone. There are two reasons why one would want to kill someone else. Sometimes a person kills another person because he hates him, and sometimes a person kills another person out of brotherly love, because he wants to spare him the pain and agony of going through the disease, the sickness that he has. So that's what the Ksava Kabbalah says. Miyad ish ochi, even if he kills him out of brotherly love, mercy killing, still ad rosh is nefesh ha'odom. Maybe the seichel would have not dictated that, but it doesn't matter. The Rebbe Shlom is dictating the dinim. The dinim are not giving mitam the seichel. The Gemara in Chulin and Daf Lamed Gimel has a discussion of this halacha of Evim and Achai leben Noach. Achbasa ben Avsha Dama lo yisachelu. Evim and Achai means if you detach a limb from an animal while it's still alive, so that's defined as Evim and Achai. So let's say you shecht an animal, so when you cut the kona and the veshet, when you cut the kona, so the lungs are detached from the animal while it's still alive. Then when you cut the veshet, so the whole food system, the kishkis, are detached from the animal while it's still alive. It's true, it's inside. The lungs and the kishkis are all inside the chest cavity. But it's inside the body, but it's still, the Gemara says it should really be Eivim and Achai. So Li Yisrael, as far as the Jew is concerned, that's the din of Shechita. You have to shecht the condemnation. The Torah says, after you shecht the animal, there's no prohibition of Eivim and Achai. But the question is, as far as B'nai Noach are concerned, so they don't have any din of Shechita. So let's say a Jew will shecht an animal, will shecht the condemnation, and then he'll make kishke. And the goy, and he wants to sell some of the kishka to the goy. He wants to invite the goy to eat the kishka. So the Gemara has a whole machlokes where the mezamdim es hanochri al b'nei meyayim. Are we permitted to invite a non-Jew to eat b'nei meyayim? So if you hold, they're not allowed to. Not allowed to eat lungs. The Jewish weddings also, years ago, they used to serve lungs. I don't know if they still do today. They used to serve lungs. That used to be the entree that no one ever knew what it was. It was fleshy, kind of little piece of flesh, that was the lung. But the kishke, they still serve. So usually it's artificial kishke. But sometimes they serve real kishke. So the question is a nachri permitted to eat the lung of the kishke? So one opinion of the Gemara is not, that constitutes an eivim achai. The goyim cannot eat lung or kishke if the animal was slaughtered according to the rules of Hilchos Shechita. They have to, let's say, electrocute the animal. They have to kill the animal while all the organs are attached, and then when the animal drops dead, so then there's no din of Eivim Achai. But if they're going to detach an organ, even if the organ that detaches inside the body, that'll be Eivim Achai. Most of the Rishonim don't paskin like that. Most of the Rishonim paskin like the other opinion of the Gemara Chulin Daf Lamed Gimel. Machleg is the Rashba and the Rambam had a paskin on the Gemara. So most of the Rishonim paskin that you say Mi'ikam Nidi, the Yisrael Shori Lebanoi Achosa, how can it be that for the Nachri it's Aser for him to eat this, and for the Yisrael it's Mutter? We say Kedishana b'mitzvot of Tzivan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, he gave us more mitzvahs. Again, not only do we have to observe the Sheva mitzvahs, but now we have to observe even more mitzvahs. So how do you have a case over here that for the Ben Noach it's forbidden for him to eat this? This is labeled as Eiv Menachayim. For the Yisrael it's Mutter. Most of the Rishonim hold that it is Mutter, but the Rambam holds not so. That there is no such din of Nika Midi. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf says that was a different kind of Nika Midi. Not on a particular instance. On the Shem Ha'isser in general, is abortion prohibited or not? So by Ben Noach it's forbidden, so by a Jew it has to also be forbidden. He's talking in abstract, but here, Abraham and Achai is forbidden for us, it's forbidden for them. Because we have Hilchos Shechita, so the Bnei Meyayim with the lungs are not called Abraham and Achai. By the Ben Noach, he does not have Hilchos Shechita. So you can say that is called Abraham and Achai. You don't have to hold from that kind of Mi'ikam Midi. That each and every individual detail, all the nitty gritty details, are also covered with the principle of Mi'ikam Midi. So that's the Machlokes in the Gemara. Where they say Mi'ikam Midi and all the details. That's a discussion that Achrenim have, the Chasam Sofer, the Prima Gadim before him. quite a few of the classical traditional Achrayim have a discussion. The Gemara raises the question in Pchoris in the first Perek and Davov, how do we know we're allowed to drink milk? Shouldn't milk be a Yotze from Yotze Menachai? Is also Beim Bechaya, Becheskes Yisra and Medes. A live animal has an Yisra. Either Eve Menachai, Machlekes Rashi and Taisis, and Shvu is Avchav Dal and Al. Rashi said Eve Menachai, we just learned it 2 days ago. And Taisis says Ein is Vucha. There's some kind of an Yisra or another of a live animal. So the milk, the cholov that comes out from a kosher animal, cow's milk, should be like pig milk, should be like camel's milk, just like cholov gomel is also because Yotze Menasa. The cholov behema Torah should also be Yotze Menasa. Behema Bechaya is Becheskes Yisra. The only milk that should be kosher is cholov from a mesa, cholov shchuta. Cholov from a live animal should be awesome. No, that's ridiculous. Cholov that's manufactured by a live animal is zichamuta. So Gemara says, no, we learn out from a pasuk that says Eretz Avos cholov adash. The Torah praises Eretz Yisrael. So in the stomach, the milk is kosher. The milk is treif. So what kind of a praise is that? The treif of Medina has cholov acham, has a treif of milk there. The stomach is a kosher Medina, a kosher land, a holy land with wonderful kosher foods there. Eretz Avos cholov adash. And the same thing, beitzim, the Rishonim ask, the Bahag and other Rishonim ask, how do you know that eggs are muta? So they quote Vayter Apostle. So then the Achronim ask, and how do you know that a Ben Noach is permitted to eat? Ben Noach is not allowed to have Eiv Menachai. So how do you know Ben Noach is allowed to eat beitzim and allowed to drink milk? So some say because Mi'ika Midi. So then they argue the point and they say, if it's based on Mi'ika Midi, if you're going to say Ben Noach is forbidden, how can Yisrael be permitted to eat it? So if it's Mutter for Yisrael, obviously it's Mutter for Ben Noach. So if it's based on Mi'ika Midi, then there's room to say the following, that if you have, even though a Nachri is permitted to eat an eagle, a Nachri is permitted to eat a horse, but he wouldn't be permitted to drink the milk from the horse, he wouldn't be permitted to eat an eagle's egg. Because the only reason why he's allowed to ever eat any eggs, he's allowed to ever drink any milk, is because of Yikamididili Sol Shari Banech Asur. So that would only apply to kosher eggs and kosher milk. But if it's anyway treif, if it's going to be Cholov of a Behema Tameo, a Cholov of a Behema Treifa, a cow that's a behemoth treifa, or a horse that's a behemoth meya, or the egg from an eagle, and it's not muta for the Yisrael, then Achrayim say you can't say mika midi. So some Achrayim takers say enachinam, that a Jew is not allowed to give, not allowed to sell, not allowed to give cholov or beitzim from a behemoth meya, an oiftome, or a treifa to an ocher, because it's a lifneiver, because the taka is no mika midi. And others say no, it still is a mika midi. The exact same Easter, whether it's a behemoth tmei or not. Because as far as Bnei Noach are concerned, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a treif or a tmei. It's just an issue of Eiv Menachai. So the Yotze Menasa from the Eiv Menachai doesn't bother me. So then, by the Bnei Noach. So there should be mutter even if it's a behemoth tmei or behemoth treif.
The way that you get a sense of the human health in yourself, would shlita happen if the animal is also dead?
Right.
But you could have a seed where you could salt it, everything
is able to cook them. Well, the animal is still technically alive in terms of, you know, whatever finds being alive. Wouldn't that be considered, I mean, doesn't Eivim Menachai, as long as the animal is still looking around, the animal is in the purpose for Benoach, isn't that Eivim Menachai still? That would be so yourself. If you shecht the animal, so it's not an Eivim Menachai Yisrael, so the Gemara has a machlokes in Chul and Lamigimel, whether you would say Mi'ika Midi, would it be Eivim Menachai for Benoach? Would you say, no, how can it be? If it's not Eivim Menachai Yisrael, it has to be Mutter for the Benoach. So not Gemara, that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rashbo. Whether you're passing from that Mi'ika Midi. Mi'ika Midi and Sanhedrin Daphne Ches, we do passing like, by the abortion, by those kind of cases. You can't say that there's an Issa that the Nochem have that we don't have the whole Issa. But over here, we have the same Issa that they have, but the details of maybe are slightly different. So that's the machlokes, whether you say that this Mi'ika Midi. Why shouldn't this also be? If by Bnei Noach the Ritzicha even applies to Ubrim, so by Yisrael should also even apply to Ubrim.
What do we mean when we say Mitam Ritzicha?
Yeah, the prohibition to kill an Uber is Mitam Ritzicha.
So then we are
Shachar Ritzicha,
because that one detail doesn't apply.
The Chiyuv Misa doesn't apply. No, no. If you kill an Uber, there is an Issa. It must be an Issa. You can't say that it's Mutar L'Gamri. The Pasuk just teaches you in the Parashat of Mevlot that there's no Einish Misa. that's not a problem you can meet. The fact that Benoach is Nereg, we're not Nereg, that's not a problem you can meet.
But if it's...
No, the Tosis shows from the Gemara that you have to say that kind of case, you would have to apply Meika Midi. Everybody would agree to that Meika Midi. It cannot be that as far as the Nochem, the prohibition of Ritzicha or the prohibition of Chavola is more encompassing than the Gabi Yisrael. Gabi Yisrael, there's a Heta Gomer, how can that be? So we stand by us also, there's an Issa Deraisa of abortion. The only thing is that there's no Einish Misa, and we're not too sure what the nature of the Yisra is, whether the Yisra of abortion is Ritzicha, or the Yisra of abortion is Chavola, with an Afkemina. What if the mother's life is not in danger? Would it be mutter to do the abortion? Just that her health is in danger, but her life is not in danger.
This concept of Nikomini is a concept in Apollo?
Yeah, the Gemara assumes so. The Gemara assumes Kiddushanim and Mitzvot of the Tzivana, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled out Klal Yisrael, he gave them additional mitzvahs, more mitzvahs. It cannot be that the Jews have less obligations than the Nochem. The Gemara assumes that that's a Klal Min HaTorah. Yes.
I don't understand. As far as Erev Min HaKadosh is concerned, how is it that Erev Min HaKadosh, as far as we are concerned, once we share, we are...
Right, so that's a machloikis in the Gemara in Chulin. That's a machloikis Amorayim, the detail. Maybe since Bayat is a din of Shechita, so once you do shechita, that removes the issue of Eiv Menachai. But Legabi Bnei Noach, maybe you wouldn't say Mika Midi. Maybe Legabi Bnei Noach, because since, as far as they're concerned, there's no concept of shechita. It's irrelevant. So if they'll shecht, if you'll shecht the behemoth, it'll still be Eiv Menachai. The Bnei Me'ayim with the Rei, it will still be Eiv Menachai Legabi Bnei Noach, even though it won't be Eiv Menachai Legabi Yisrael.
So in the details of the mitzvah, it's possible that they would be, it would be more harmful for them.
Right. That's the machloikis. That's machloikis. The Rambam and the Rashba had a paskin on that Gemara. But in the Gemara Sanhedrin,
that's the very paskin. That as far as the Jews are concerned, once you do the shechita, you can eat.
There's no problem of Eiv Menachai. And as far as Bnei Noach, it's a machloikis Amoraim and a machloikis Arishonim had a paskin. But the Mizam the Mizan Nachri al Bnei Meiayim or not.
During the
Brachla
over Kiddush,
that's a big question. Yeah, we usually assume that you cannot. We don't institute new brachas that weren't the Gemara says. The Kami Elachasa the Sapa B'Shvach Shemach. The Nachik Nes Agdala composed all the brachas. Any bracha they didn't compose, you're not allowed to say. The only question is, let's say an Anos is about to kill someone. Al Kiddush Hashem. So does he say the bracha Hashem Kiddushan Mitzvah Son of Lakadosh Hashmoy? A bracha Mekadosh Hashem Chabarabim. So many Rishonim say that, yeah. Many Rishonim in the Shaloh quotes that also. They say that there is such a bracha. The bracha is not mentioned in the Gemara. So they hold no. The Gemara has a klal. Kol ha-mitzvahs kulam v'varach alayim oiv alas yosam. When you're about to do a mitzvah, you have to say a bracha. So that takonim was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. They didn't have to formulate each and every individual nisach ha-bracha. They put the program on the computer. And then if you have a mitzvah, you feed in the information. I'm about to do Kiddush Hashem, so what bracha should I say? So the computer will print that. Whatever. You don't have to have every single nusach ha-bracha mentioned in the Gemara. It could be that that's the deal. It could be that there are the mitzvahs that exist in the Torah. And the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah made a takana that one should recite the Birchas HaMitzvah before performing any mitzvah. So if you have a mitzvah that the Gemara doesn't mention the bracha, so figure it out on your own what the bracha should be.
Is there a shira for Abram and Achai by Avoy?
Is there a shir achila for Eid Menachai by a goy? I think the Rambam says shirim are only given to Yisrael and not to Bnei Noach. The only thing is that Eid Menachai, in order to be an Eiver, has to have Bosa Gidn Vatsamas. You have to have a little bit Bosa Gidn Vatsamas. So you have to have a little of each. Yeah, you have to swallow the whole thing. If you don't swallow the whole thing, it's not Eid Menachai. Let's say you rip off a leg from a chicken, and then you just eat the meat of the leg, and you throw out the bone. He doesn't swallow the bone. So that's not Eiv Menachai.
Let's say you have a less finish.
That's Bas Menachai. Bas Menachai is a machlokes in the Gemara. Where the Nochem Amuza, Ach Bas Benav Shadam Lo Sechel. What about Dam Menachai? What about Bas Menachai? The Raman Paskin's Bas Menachai is also Wasa from the Benayah. So then the question would be, would you need a kezayis? I think the Rambam writes the Feirish, no, that there's no need for a kezayis because La Nitma Shiurim Le Bnei Noach.
Then what if you hold that Chatzi Shir is Mutter in the Torah for, and then you have a case of Yisrael and has something that's
Mutter? Uh-huh. Interesting kasha, okay. Good kasha. We happen to pass in La Locha that Chatzi Shir is Asmanatar, but if you hold Chatzi Shir, Mutter in the Torah. That's an interesting
question. That's also a detail.
Could be that that'll be the teretz. Okay, you have to work out whether that teretz would apply here or not.
He said Gedol went off and tried to talk to the so he told them to buy a
right, that's what the Rambam writes. Right. The Rambam says the shiurim were not given with the name. The Rambam in the Igeres Taimon has an interpretation on the pasuk in Yeshaya. That's in today's this week's haftarah called Kli Yutzar Alayach Lo Yitzloch. Any instrument that will be manufactured to wipe out the Jews will not succeed. The crematoria succeeded very well, but it didn't succeed in killing out the whole Jewish nation. Koloshim Tok Mitoch La Mishpat Tarshi. And any tongue that will try to attack the Jewish religion will not succeed. Zon Tznachlas Abdei Hashem Tzidkosim Itin Yom Hashem. So the Rambam points out in the Igeres Taimon that over the centuries, over the generations, the Nochrim tried to wipe out the Jewish people. He quotes from the Gemara, why is it called Har Sinai? The real name was really Har Chorev. Different opinions in the Gemara what the real name of Har Sinai was. It's described as having different names in Tanakh. The one opinion in the Gemara Shabbos is that the real name is Har Chorev. The reason why it's called Har Sinai is Shemisham Yor the Sin Eloilam. It was anti-Semitism right after the Maamon Har Sinai because the nations of the world didn't want to accept the Torah. So when you see the Jewish people, they all have a guilty feeling, have a guilty conscience. If they could have accepted it, and more or less the Jews sort of live up to the Dina HaTorah, some people are medaktik and Lashon Hara. A lot of people keep kosher. A lot of people don't cheat in business. A lot of people don't violate Lysina. There are people, there are tzaddikim among the Jewish people who observe Tariyak Mitzvah. So the Goyim look at the Jewish people, so they're jealous. They can, and this causes guilt feelings by them. So this is the source of anti-Semitism. That's how the Gemara has one opinion. Har Sinai Shemisham Yor the Sinah Loilam. So the Rambam writes in the Igeres Taimon that the Sinah leads to the desire to wipe out the Jewish religion in two ways. One way is to kill all the Jewish people, simply, to exterminate the Jewish people. And the other way is to write books and to attack logically the Jewish religion, to explain with biblical criticism why the whole Tanakh is baloney, and why the whole Talmud is not correct, and why the Jewish laws don't make any sense. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us. Kol Kli Yitzorach Alayach Lo Yitzloch. Any mechanism that's for the purpose of destroying the entire Jewish people will never succeed. It succeeded in killing many, many millions of people over the centuries. The one who wrote the history books, Baron, writes that the people are talking about the 9 million Jews, the 6 million Jews that were killed by the Nazis, that they have records of. They have the names and the numbers in the cities. The other 3 million Jews, they didn't keep records of. But I remember when I was a little boy, so I remember they always used to say there were 9 million Jews killed by the Nazis. Probably more than 9 million Jews. And Stalin killed more than 9 million people. Stalin killed many millions of people. So Baron has in his book, he makes a calculation that over the centuries he thinks that the Vatican, the Catholic Church, must have killed at least 50 million Jews. But still the Jewish people are still here to talk about it. So the Rambam says that's the first half of the pasuk. Hopefully Yutzar Alayach Lo Yitzloch, all of the plans of the Ummah Sa'olam to wipe out the Jewish people entirely will never succeed. All of the attacks that they'll mount against the Jewish religion to show the way it doesn't make any sense and it's not decent and it's not logical and so on, at times they'll get Jews to become Shemadim, they'll get a lot of Jews to convert, but they won't succeed in fragging up the whole Jewish religion. That's his interpretation of the pasuk. Rambam has a lot of times in his letters, he has very interesting interpretations in Sukkim and Novi. Maybe they were standard pshatim, but if you look at Mefarshim, the regular Mefarshim we use, they don't have any of these pirushim. Gemara has a comment in Yivam, at the end of the second parak, there's a machloikis atanoim. You're not supposed to accept a gear unless he converted l'shem shamayim, unless his motivation was religious. But if the guy wants to convert, he wants to be mekabel all of all the tariyak mitzvahs, but his desire to convert, the thing that motivated him is that he wants to marry a Jewish girl. He wants to get a job in an Israeli government or something like that. So then the Gemara says that it's not proper to accept such a gir. What happens if he did accept such a gir b'diyeved? Would the geris be chal or not? Is it likuva? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. The Gemara paskens that b'diyeved it would be good. Even Geri Arayis, even though he was only motivated to convert because he was attacked by lions, but then Lamaisi, after he's attacked by the lions, he is mekabel all the sheva mitzvahs, he is mekabel all of the tayag mitzvahs, so then Allah will be paskin kulam gerim him, the geris is chal. But lachatchil, it's not proper to accept such gerim. So the Gemara there at the end of the second prayer in Yeramis comments on the pasuk in today's haftar. Vigori toch, olayich yipol. So the Gemara understands this pasuk to mean migori, or maybe it's an additional level of interpretation, I'm not sure. Migori toch, the one who is nizgayer. The Gemara says la'atid lovi limois ha-mashiach, we're not going to be mekabel any ger. Any non-Jew who wants to convert better convert now, because after Mashiach comes it's going to be too late, because then they're all going to be converting shaloi l'shem, not for religious purposes. The Bezdin will have to be choshish that maybe they won't convert because they want to share in the gedolos m'shal Yisrael. So the pasuk says, "Migori toch." Those who were misgayer at the time that the Jewish people were suffering and downtrodden and persecuted and so on, then alayach yipol. So then later on, they will share with the simcha and the kavod and the gedula of Bnei Yisrael. But after the gedula comes, then the Bezdin will not be allowed to accept any ger. It's not right to, let's say, bisman hazeh. In America, you have a lot of rabbis on mekabel gerim just for the Orthodox rabbis on mekabel gerim just for the purpose of conversion. Or in Eretz Yisrael, the mekabel gerim also just for the purpose of marriage. Or let's say in Eretz Yisrael, also for many years. Now I don't know, but for many years in Eretz Yisrael, an Arab can never get ahead in the Jewish, in the Israeli army or in the Israeli government. So sometimes an Arab want to convert in order to advance his position in the society. So lechatchila the din is they weren't supposed to accept such gerim. We paskin b'diyeved the gerim is good. So that's why the Rabbanim in Europe already before the Second World War said that sometimes we have a situation that Shashat Chakiri ever done. If the Orthodox Rabbanim are not going to be Mekabel such a gear, then he'll go to a Reform Rabbi, he'll be Mizgayer, and then he'll live with the Jewish woman anyway. He can live with the Jewish woman without converting Bechlau. There's nothing that's going to force him. I mean, years ago there was a pressure, no one intermarried. Today a lot of people intermarry. So if the fellow already wants to convert, so the Gedolim in Europe already said, Rav Chaim Moshe and many others said that maybe we should be niskatim, maybe we should convert him. So Shas HaTchak is the Eved Domi. Sometimes we allow Lachatchila B'Shas HaTchak, but it's normally only acceptable to the Eved, and here we do pass from that to the Eved, it is good.
The Eved is good even without Kabbalah?
No, only with Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. If there's no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, it's no good. The Gemara in two places talks about Geri Arayis. The Gemara there in Yivamis Chav Dalet says that Geri Arai is one who converted because he was afraid of the lions, but the Yevet is good. And then the Gemara all over Shas talks about the Kusim, were they Geri Emes or were they Geri Arayis. So the expression Geri Arayis in connection with the Kusim means that it's no good. So Tosfos says the Stira. Here you say that Geri Arayis but the Yevet are good, and there you say that one who's a Geri Arayis means that it's a Goy Goma. The Tosfos says if the person only converted because of Pachad from the lions who were attacking them like the Kusim, and he never accepts the mitzvah HaTorah, the Tariyag mitzvah, then the Geris is not even Chabad Yevet. The Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah is certainly Me'akibad Yevet. The Gemara in Yivam is Avchav Dalet that says that Geri Arayis but Yevet is good means the motivation to convert was because he's afraid of the lions that are attacking him. But Lamai said because he was afraid of the lions, he was Me'akibad all of all mitzvahs. He was Me'akibad Tariyag mitzvah. So then the Gemara passes that Bidi Yevet is good. But the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah is certainly Me'akib. That if Shulchan Aruch quotes a statement from the Rambam, that Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah is not Me'akib. So that's why he may attack it be. It's against the Gemara. So they explain the Rambam means a different thing. Soloveitchik said this, and Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes this from his father, and the Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch quoted from the Chemda Shloimer. Rav Chaim Moshe quotes it from the Chemda Shloimer. It means the fancy form of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah that we have, that the gear is in the mikvah up to his neck, and then the Bezin is standing there, and they make a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah the second before he's Tovel. And they ask him, do you reject the Trinity? Do you accept monotheism? Do you accept Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha? Do you promise to keep all the mitzvahs of Torah, even those that you didn't study yet, those that you find out in your future? So they write immediately before he's Tovel in the mikvah. So that fancy form of the dramatic form of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah, so the drama is not Me'akid. If he had classes, And he told the Bezin before, week before he went to be Tavil on the Mikveh, he's Mekabal al Mitzvahs, so that's sufficient. But to say there's no Kabbalah al Mitzvahs at all and the Geiris is Chal, so that's what all the Poskim assume, that that's utterly ridiculous, that the Rambam could not have possibly meant that. And that's not, Shulchan Aruch just quotes verbatim the Rambam. He meant the dramatic form of Kabbalah al Mitzvahs that we normally have. That's not the Kuvah. The Pasuk says in today's Sedra an interesting, a very interesting comment Rashi has in the Medrash. The Pasuk says that Noach sent out the raven and it didn't go anywhere. Vayishalach ha-sorah vayetzi yotzeh v'shov v'ad yiroshes ha-mayim mi'al ha-oret. It was going yotzeh v'shov. So Rashi says, ha-lach ha-makim stivas ha-tepah, but ha-lach v'shlichuso. The raven didn't want to go. Then he had to send out the yoina twice, and finally he realized that that the marble was completely over. Everything was all clear. So what's the story with the raven? So the Medrash uses a lashon that Noach screamed at the raven that he's a Rasha. Why was the raven a Rasha? What was bad about the raven? So the Maral has a very interesting pshat. You see it in life all the time. He says, "Vayetzi yotzev v'shov ad yevoshes ha'mayim mi'al ha'oretz." Rashi quotes the Medrash Agadah that the raven was waiting till a different time. He's going to do a shlichus. At this time, he didn't want to do the shlichus. We want to wait till a different shlichus, till the days of Eliyahu Hanavi, when there was a famine. There was atziris kshamim for a long time. Nothing was growing. There was no water. The people were dying. The animals were dying. There was a terrible situation. So at that time, Eliyahu HaNavi was hiding in a cave because Achav was searching all over the world, all over the whole Middle East, in order to get him. So he was hiding out in a cave, and the ravens were v'harvim avim lo lechem u'basar. So the Maharal Miprag has an interesting comment. He says, if not for the fact that Eliyahu HaNavi had the system of the ravens bringing him the food, he would have not been able to curse Eretz Yisrael that there should be a famine, that there should be no rain. So what, he's going to die from starvation? He needs to survive also. So the ravens were the ones who were helping him in his machlekes. He did a machlekes l'shem shemayim Eliyahu HaNavi, and he said there's not going to be any rain until you apologize, until you stop worshiping Kavod Hazara, and so on. But still, he made a big machlekes. He says the ravens were miserable people, not people, they were miserable animals. That's why the Medrash says that Noach screamed at them, Rasha. Why were they Roshoim? He knew their teva, they were miserable. So that's why they only did a Dvar Mitzvah when it was a Shlichus L'Roh, to help out Eliyahu HaNavi and his Machlekes. Sometimes you have circumstances where people have to make a Cherem. Rabbanim have to make a Cherem, or they have to come out Machlekes, and so on. So you have to look around to see who are the people who are helping out the Rabbanim to make Machlekes. So the Maharal Miprag says usually they'll be the miserable people, who are misanthropes, who are miserable b'chlal, and their whole life that they're miserable. So then sometimes if they're a little bit religious, so they use their mean streak in order to do their miserable mitzvahs, to help Eliyahu HaNavi, Leichem Melchamas Hashem. But if the raven would have been a kind natured, a good natured animal, he would have chosen to do the shlichus for Noach, to find out whether the marble was over, whether it's all clear or not. So the Yoina did that shlichus. Everybody's running to do mitzvahs, but some people run to do cheerful, happy mitzvahs, and other people run to do miserable mitzvahs. So that guy is a Rasha. That animal is called a Rasha. The Gemara in the Dorim has a comment on the Pasuk. The Yetzer Leif Ha'adam Rak Ra Min Urov. What do you mean Min Urov? Yishor Shinino Lotzeis Mimei Eimo. Nitan bo yetzer hara. Rashi quotes it on Perek Ches Pasuk Chafama. And when does he get the yetzer toif? So the Gemara says 13 years later, when it becomes bar mitzvah. Some chassidish svarim are bothered with akasha. But usually little children seem to behave. More or less, then I'm a little bit mischievous. And when did the kid start to really misbehave? After bar mitzvah. So if he gets the yetzer toif, then he misbehaves. How come he was a doll? How come he was a darling child all along when he only had the yetzer hara? Should have been terribly mischievous then, and then he should have been less mischievous after he comes by mitzvah. So I think in Chassidus Yisrael they write this notion that the Yetzer Hara doesn't bring out any bad midas in a person until you have a conflict. If you only have a Yetzer Hara, there's no Yetzer Tov, but then apparently it doesn't bring out anything bad. Just he pushes his way out from the mother's body, and even though the mother has chevle later pains, so that's the whole extent of the Yetzer Hara. But the young children, usually even before benchmark, they're not so terrible, they're not so bad, they're not so mischievous. But after they get the Yetzer Tov also, and then there's an inner conflict in the person, so then when there's a fight, who's going to win? If there's no one fighting the Yetzer Hara, so he doesn't have to fight. He doesn't have to cause the child to do any sins. After the child has blessed with the Yetzer Tov, and then there's a conflict, so then the Yetzer Hara has to show that he's going to win. So then the people become Bali Avera later. The pasuk describes the way Noach got drunk after the Mabul. So the Mefarshim point out, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Ayin, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, "Tunu sheicha lo oivid v'yayin lemorei nefesh." I think the pasuk reads that you should give. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that by all the haruge bezdin, they used to give them a sharp liquor or a very sharp wine to drink before they died, so they shouldn't feel a pain. So there is such an inyan. If a person is in a state of aggravation, a person has troubles, he should drink a little bit. So here Noach was very aggravated. He comes out of the teva and he sees the whole world is destroyed because the local yeshiva is not there, whatever, his local movies are not there, his local university, all the things that he used to, candy store, nothing is there. So he's all of his friends, all of his cronies, there's nobody there, the whole world is destroyed. So he was aggravated. So taka, a positive thing that he planted the vines and he made wine and he had a drink in order to take away part of his aggravation. The tzara was that he went to excess. To drink a little bit is not so big, but a person has to know how to control himself. So he got drunk to a ridiculous extent. That was the avera, that was the amla. But to drink a little bit of schnapps, nishgefelt. So the most religious Jews throughout all the generations, the chassidim always drank schnapps. There's nothing wrong with that. If he's going to drink to the point he's going to beat up his wife, he's going to curse his children, he's going to not wake up for minyan on time, that's a different story. But just to have a little drink to ease one's nerves, adaranda. The pasuk says that that's perfectly okay. Everything to moderation, yes. Anything the Rebbeinu Shalom created is good. All the meters that we have are good. Kaas is a good meter. If you know how to control it, you have to know when to demonstrate kaas. Ava and sina, everything is important. That's what it says in Koheles. Lakol's man beis l'chol chepet. The Rebbeinu Shalom created all these meters, and you have to know when to use the meter. The trouble is that the people use the wrong meter at the wrong time.